forgive me. You did the pledge to the flag. It is 6:04 p.m., and I'd like to call the regular board meeting of the Board of Trustees of Kanyatillo ISD to order. It is October the 23rd, and Tony, would you be so kind as to call roll?
Mrs.
Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Charles?
Here. And let's see, I'm looking around. Yeah, come sit. Come in, please. There's chairs up here. Don't be scared. Come on up front.
Get the little girl down.
The one in the blue shirt. And, honey, with the pretty ponytail and the glasses on, would you be so... It's okay that you have that. I'm not going to scold you. Would you be so kind as to lead us in the pledge to the flag this evening? Okay. The flag's right over here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Very good. Thank you so much. And Ms. Cáceres, could you read the mission statement tonight, please?
Yes, ma'am. Theo Filipino School District will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
Thank you very much. Sounds like we're as smart as these kids were already. Like that's happening. Tony, that would take us to...
A special presentation, Mr. Rodriguez.
Kanyatillo ISD believes educating children is a job better done with strong partnerships. There's little doubt that ArcelorMittal is one of our district's greatest partners. The ArcelorMittal team is no stranger to this boardroom. They're here often to participate in student programs, be corporate representatives in various committees, and on days like this, attend board meetings, present grants to help our students. Today, Corporate Responsibility Manager Penny Ledesma comes to Kanyatillo to present us with a $10,000 grant aimed at improving the technology offerings at three of our elementary schools, Kanyatillo, Childress, and Davenport. The money will be used to buy a computer on wheels or TAB with three laptops at each of these campuses. The district will then supply five additional laptops for each one of these campuses. Here to present the check to the Board of Trustees, Penny Ledesma. Penny, please come up. And board members, could you please come to the steps?
$10,000
to Kanyatillo
ISD.
thank you, Penny, and thank you to Arsenal Middle. They're a great part of our school district. We're going to move on now to board honors, if it's okay with the board.
Yes, please. With the board's approval, we're going to move the board honors up. Everybody okay with that? Thank you.
The men and women of the County Transportation Department are a critical component of the instructional day for so many of our students. The bus drivers and monitors are very often the first and last CISD employee our children see on any given day. They safely take our student athletes and competitors across town and even across state to proudly represent the County School District. They start their work day earlier than most of us, but yet they find in their heart to do it with a smile and greet every child with care. Dispatchers are the unseen schedulers that make sure routes are followed on time, and the mechanics make sure our buses are safe to transport our most precious part of our children. It is then with great satisfaction that the community of Deal celebrates its bus drivers, monitors, mechanics, and dispatchers during this month of October Bus Safety Month. And Latino transportation personnel, would you please come up and greet the board? Received an award for its environmental efforts during the 2012 El Paso Environmental Summit, which is sponsored by Keep Benton Beautiful and ArcelorMittal. Their efforts included green-based beautification projects at their campus, waste reduction and litter prevention campaigns, recycling projects, and several cleanup efforts throughout Benton. Their work brought praise not just from the environmentalists in the summit, but also from the county and state dignitaries that gathered there. Could the BCE Mother, Daughter, Father, Son program participants and anyone else from BCE please come up and greet the board to be ready?
Thank you. Yay, Rachel! Monica, I've known you since you were a little girl. And now you're one heck of a woman. You're awesome. You've brought so much to this board and so much knowledge that you brought to us. Helped us in a lot of different things. And you'll always be my baby. I love you very much. And you're in our hearts. You'll always be in our hearts.
Prepared for this, but Monica, no, how we always used to stay together there. I don't know if I'm going to be back, but I will always miss you tremendously. I will continue to call you regardless whether we're on the board or not, whether you're on the board and whether I'm on the board or not. But you know how all the experiences that we shared, all the phone calls that we shared, that cannot be taken away. You know that. All the experiences. And I cannot go into detail. Monica, I will miss you. And I love you.
Monica, you've known me since I was a little boy. Anyways, you know, when you first got on the board, Monica, I knew the potential that you had to become a great part of the decision-making process and the leadership of for the students of this district. I've always known of your heart, where it stands with our kids, and nobody can ever say anything other than you acted in behalf of the best interests of the children of our district. And for that, I want to thank you. I want to tell you that it's been a privilege and an honor serving with you. Yes, we're going to miss you. No, we're not going to leave. And yes, we still love you and we'll always love you.
Monica, on behalf of the entire district, all the employees for sure, certainly the students, you know, you've helped us so much. Personally, you've always been somebody that I can call and get the straight dope from, not the dope, the information. And I've relied on that many times, and I want to thank you personally for supporting me and supporting the administration and the teachers. And this is a loss to the district, and I echo what Armando said. We hope you come back. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, everybody, from the bottom of my heart. I'm a woman of few words, but I couldn't even talk even if I want to, and I'm a little bit overwhelmed and emotional, but
I don't believe that.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. I might not serve on the board anymore, but I'm still here. You're going to see me. I get sick of me. So thank you all very much. I'm really touched. Thank you.
We love you, Mom.
Board President Searles, board members, Dr. Murphy, this concludes the report on this.
Thank you, and thank y'all for coming tonight.
Okay, Tony, that, and the board will now pick up our agenda as before. Tony, that would take us, I guess, to the superintendent's comments.
Yes, item three, superintendent's comments, Dr. Murphy.
President Searles, board members, audience members, thank you very much for being here tonight. We have a lot on the agenda, so I'll go through this quickly, but we've had several wonderful things happen in the last month. And I want to highlight a couple of them. Our band at the high school, CHS band, went to UIL competition at the SAC over in Socorro for the first time in several years. We appreciate Regino Ramos and his assistants and all the work that was done. And without going into all the specific standings, I can just tell you they competed against eight other campuses. in their division, and only two schools were better than them, received a higher rating. So they did very, very well, and they're committed now to, on a yearly basis, go back to UIL competition at the SAC where it's traditionally held, and great job to the band. Also want to thank everyone. I know we have seen some audience members that went with us for our trip to the commissioner, to listen to the commissioner when he visited El Paso on October 10th. We had 17 administrators and teachers that went and heard our wonderful new commissioner speak about the state of education in the state of Texas. And we represented very well. President, I can tell you that we were one of the larger contingencies, even with the other districts. And it was a pleasure to help organize. They asked me to help organize the trip, the visit for the commissioner, and it was a great experience. Finally, we want to congratulate six teachers, Bobby Leyva, Rita Gomez, Chris Edwards, Rocio Rodriguez, Marcela Grado, and Oscar Carrera. They've all been awarded grants and awards from the El Paso Community Foundation Classroom Fund. And the teachers, they all submitted requests for different items based on merit and also just on need. And they were all awarded grants and awards from the El Paso Community Foundation. We want to thank the El Paso Community Foundation and also the teachers for taking the effort to enter into those grant writing and grant awarding contests. And we're proud that they won. Two were from Northwest, two were from Alderete. One was from Damian, and one was from Canyon Teal Mills.
How much were they for, Dr. Murphy?
The Community Foundation hasn't posted the amounts yet. They are smaller grants. They're aimed at buying supplies and other materials they might need. And their goal is to sort of ease the burden on personal finances for the teachers, sometimes by these items. So they're not great as far as $10,000 like the one we saw today, but they are significant for the teachers.
That's a real relief fund then.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you, President.
Yes, sir. Tony, that would then take us to 7B. Could we, with the board's approval, move 7B up above number 5? Is everybody good?
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
Item 7B, consider all matters incident and related to the issuance and sale of County 2 Independent School District unlimited tax refunding bonds, series 2012, including adoption of an order authorizing the issuance of such bonds, establishing parameters for the sale and issuance of such bonds, and delegating certain matters to authorized officials of the district. Mrs. Akita.
Madam Chair, we already had discussed it at the committee meeting, but I'm just going to make a motion and then there could be discussion. So I make a motion to approve, I so move instead of saying the whole.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion made and seconded to consider all matters incident related to the issuance and sale of Candy to Independent School District Unlimited Tax Refunding Bond Series 2012, including the adoption of an order authorizing the issuance of such bonds, establishing parameters for the sale, issuances of such bonds, and delegating certain matters to authorized officials of the district. With that, ladies. Anybody have any questions? I think everybody fully heard, understood, and thank you. It's really exciting. Yes, sir.
What did we get anticipated, I guess, fluctuations coming up here in the next few months?
In terms of interest rate?
Yeah.
Well, right now, we're in a very low interest rate environment, as you already know. We don't expect it to be huge fluctuations in terms of long-term interest rates. We expect that we're going to be in the same environment for the next year or two at this point. There will be, I will have to say, we have an election coming up, the presidential election. So we aren't certain exactly how things are going to turn out. So we do expect that maybe, a few weeks or even a month or two right after the election, the market may shake a little bit, but nothing that, you know, we believe would be material in any way, shape, or form. But I think that it will take, you know, maybe 3 to 4 weeks for things to kind of flush out after we know who will be the next president. I hope that answers your question.
Okay.
The other thing, just real quick, we're looking at also coming back for parameters maybe in February for the rest of the bond sales.
So. Right. In our finance committee presentation last week, we presented to the board the refunding opportunity for the bank qualified refunding. And then we also discussed with staff the ability of coming back to the board in early February and with a parameters resolution, which will allow you to issue the second set of bonds of the, what is it, the 2011 bond election? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
2011. Yes.
2011. So, I mean, we should be coming back here in the next 3 to 4 months. And I think if you're concerned, I think, in terms of the interest rate volatility between, you know, this bond issuance and the next, I really don't foresee that the market's going to jump, you know, materially in the upward, I guess, curve, if you want to call it, for that particular bond issue. But, you know, we're happy to come back at an earlier time if you would like to have a parameters resolution before then. And then we can do it for 6 months, and we can actually execute if the bond issuance earlier, if that's the way that the board chooses to go.
And the reason I was asking, because there's scuttlebutt that the Fed was thinking of earlier next year raising.
Well, I think that we heard, you know, that long-term interest rates will probably stay somewhat the same in the next 12 to 18 months. We don't foresee it really rising too much, just given the, you know, the global state of the economy. So I think that you should be, you know, well off in the next two. I think in terms of Canutillo and the bond issuances, you know, we're talking about, you know, 2 to 6 month horizon. I think you should be fine. And that's why I brought up the other bond issue. You know, we were thinking about coming and approaching the board in February. However, if you would rather that we get in sooner, we have 6 months from the delegation, from the time that you do, you know, move forward with the parameters resolution for us to actually execute all those bonds. So you could actually, you know, execute the bonds or actually let it lapse if you'd like. And we can actually come back to the board at another time and present to you where the market is, and you can decide to issue bonds at that time.
I think the board ought to consider that, because we don't lose anything. And rather than having to wait a call meeting to establish those, if our administration and financial advisors feel it's appropriate before we end up having to pay more, because this is going to be hefty. So 20 million?
It's about 25 million, yes.
25 million?
$22 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And one thing I'll say is that we have done this, you know, with other issuers, that, you know, we present a refunding opportunity, but then, you know, on a weekly basis, monthly basis, we meet with staff and we present to them numbers, and then they can go ahead as pricing officers decide to move forward with the execution of the bond deal. But again, if you don't want to execute the deal within the 6 months, you can let it lapse. So we can always come back another time.
I would suggest, Madam Chair, that we set this up sometime.
I agree with you.
Do that. It doesn't hurt us.
No.
And we will at least, you know, at least there won't be a delay if things, you know, happen and develop. I don't see this me going any, quite frankly, quite lower. You know, could move up a little bit after the election. I don't know.
Yeah.
Long term, it could.
I think. Part of what we were looking at is giving the 160 days, doing it by June and July. Hopefully, even March, we could probably do it, but that way they don't have to come back. We could even do that December or January to give you those parameters if you want to come back at the next meeting. So I don't have a problem, because it's 160 days, and what we want to look at is before the application for, is it EDA or IFA?
EDA.
If you all want to do that, to come in December or February, because then the 160 days will take us to May or June. It's probably safer to do it in January because of the
right.
Whatever you all
we can come to the board, you know, as early as December. In order for the refunding to qualify as being qualified, we have to execute it before December 31st. It has to basically be below $10 million. So, you know, in essence, if we're going to issue $22 million, then you want to do it next year. However, with that said, we can as quickly come to the board in November, December, with a parameters resolution specifically for that bond issue that we won't execute until January, March, or June, or whatever of next year, until the board is actually comfortable that they're ready to sell the bonds. However, we can come to you with a parameters resolution.
The other thing that we asked for, and I believe we all are working on, is to actually look at a drawdown schedule of the bond projects.
Yes.
So that way we're not paying the interest and keeping in our pools instead of
paying the interest. Yeah, that is correct. I shared, we've discussed it with Jennifer, and we're working on getting something. So.
Okay.
Last week, Mr. Robert provided you a tax base and enrollment assumptions in the booklet that you were given.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was asked as to how we were doing as compared to the previous bond sale we had. And so the page you have on the top left corner says February 2011, and that is when this information was presented. And as you compare to the current one that was provided last week, there is a significant increase.
And the good thing to note to our public, if I might, Madam
Chair, yes, sir,
is on page 8, it was predicted to have a 2%, and we actually had a 13.96% tax base growth rate, which is going to allow us to not levy, but to help out the taxpayer when it comes to
mitigate the impact of the tax.
Yes, greatly.
Any idea how many pennies that would be worth?
Well, I would have to look back at the spreadsheet that, in the booklet that I prepared and we passed out, there is that long, spreadsheet, basically, that's folded. It's the tax rate impact analysis. We'd have to go back and look at what the calculated INS tax rate was prior to us actually putting these, but I can almost guarantee you that given the increase in the NV, that you probably do have significant savings. Mm-hmm. That we can come back
I'd be interested to know that.
Right, and coming back, it would be a good idea in the presentation when we do the new money bond presentation, probably give you that summary as to where we were when we passed your bond election and where you think we will be after the issuance of the refunding and mm-hmm. the new money bond issue.
Right.
Without any further questions, Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Stroud?
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
I just wanted to wish Mrs. Gonzalez a farewell, and thank you on behalf of First Southwest for all the support and the friendship, you know, through the years, and we thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was real sweet. Thank you.
Paul, did you need to say anything?
Yeah.
Do I say goodbye to Monica? Tony, I think now we go back to 5, our public hearing.
Yes, item 5, public hearing on the first reading. Mrs. Aguini.
Good night, y'all. Thank you very much for coming.
Paul Corky, thank you.
Corky.
Night, Corky.
Good night, Corky.
Good evening. Every school district in Texas is required to prepare an annual financial management report that includes the district's financial management performance rating based by TEA within 2 months of the actual rating being distributed. This requirement involves an actual holding of a public hearing and advertising it to our public and community for their overview. So the primary goal of the financial accountability rating system, which we often refer to as FIRST, is to attain the quality performance in the management and practices of the district's financial resources. The ratings issued in 2012 are reporting the activity that occurred during the 2010-11 school year. And then under the statute and adopted rules of House Bill 1, TEA considers the district's school FIRST rating when assigning the final accreditation status. So it is a very important tool that they use and critical to our district's ratings. The ratings are categorized in with 20 indicators, and they're divided into several areas. The first six indicators are related and considered the critical indicators. 7 through 11 are fiscal responsibilities and how we handled district's fiscal responsibilities. 12 through 14 is budgeting, 15 through 17 is personnel, and 18 through 20 is cash management. Back in 2010, the FIRST ratings consisted of 24 indicators. In 2011, they removed two indicators and we went down to 22 indicators. At that point, they repealed the 65% instructional ratio rule that they had before. In this current year, 2012, we are now down to 20 indicators. What they did is eliminated two indicators and they actually modified one. They removed the district's academic rating as one of the criteria, and they also removed the fund balance requirement of cash flow and optimum fund balance. And as you all know, with the shortage of funds in the state, a lot of the school districts were required to dip into fund balance just to manage their operating budget. And so this was all affecting them negatively, and so they decided to remove it. Another one that actually affected us last year was our investment earnings. They had it categorized by investment earnings in all funds more than $20 per student. With the rates being what they are, it was very difficult to attain that. And so now this year what they've done is, the question is, do the investment earnings in all funds meet or exceed a 3-month treasury bill rate? And we did pass on that with that criteria. The possible ratings are superior achievement, above standard achievement, and substandard achievement. Mm-hmm. And it's just based on what the score, on how we rank on each score on the 20 items. There are instances to receive a substandard achievement that they will, if you respond no to certain indicators, then they automatically give us a substandard rating. And if there are serious data quality issues, then we are actually suspended. It's suspended due to data quality, and then of course the district has to resolve the issues before we provide them. So I'll begin with the first of the 20 indicators. The first one was total fund balance was less, it says total fund balance less reserves was greater than zero. And our district's fund balance was at $11.4 million. And so we passed that indicator. The second indicator was total unrestricted net balance in the statement of net assets was greater than zero. And we had $15.3 million in that account. Basically, this indicator is asking if the district's 5-year percentage change in students was 10% or more, or if the total unrestricted net balance is greater than zero. And so we do have a balance, and we have had an increase, but not at the 10% level. We're at 8% actually. And the third indicator is there were no disclosures in the annual financial report concerning default on bonded indebtedness obligations. And basically, did the district pay their bond debt service payments? And the district did. Number four, the annual financial report was filed within 1 month after November 27th, which is a requirement by TEA. And the answer was yes, the data was received by TEA on December 27th. And so we received it. the points there. The deadline was December 28th. On number five, the question is, the external auditors issued an unqualified opinion in the annual financial report. And basically, is did the district receive a clean audit? And the answer is yes, we did. Number six is, the annual financial report did not disclose any instance of material weaknesses in internal controls. And they did not find any. And basically, they are saying that we are not putting the district at risk of fraud or instances that could affect us negatively. An indicator number seven, the district's three-year average percent of total tax collection, including delinquent taxes, was greater than 98%, and that is true. Our collection rate is at 99.5%, which is a very good rate. Community supports. Number eight is, the PIMS data was accurately reflected in the annual financial report. And that is true. And what that means is that the information that the auditors review and what is actually submitted to TEA through the PIMS system matches. And so that is, they give us credit for data quality that is submitted. Number nine is, debt-related expenditures net of IFA and EDA allotment were less than $350 per student. And we met that indicator. The indicator shows the legislature's intent for school districts to spend money on education rather than on expensive buildings by limiting the amount of money districts can spend on debt up to $350. I will note that last year the requirement was $250 per student, and now it's gone up to $350.
A fast growth school, right. Coalition.
Number of students in year five from base year 2011, in 2011 we had 5,938 students enrolled. In 2007, which is 5 years back, it was 5,483 students. Our total tax collections was 17.3 million last year, and total tax rate and pennies is $740. On indicator 10, there was no disclosure in the annual audit report of material noncompliance, and the auditors gave us a clean bill of health there, so we got the points. The district received full accreditation status in relation to financial management practices, and we did receive the full accreditation. And number 12 is, the aggregate of budgeted expenditures and other uses was less than the aggregate of total revenues, other resources, and fund balance in the general. And basically, did we keep within our budget, or did we have to go to fund balance to make the difference? And that is one of our goals that we currently have and have had for several years. And it just means that we kept within budget and actually had remaining funds that were added into the fund balance. On number 13 is saying, the district's construction projects were adequately financed to avoid creating a deficit fund balance. And that is true. The aggregate fund balance in general fund and capital projects totaled $36.8 million. And that's with our 2006 bonds, 2011 bonds, and then funds that were allocated through the regular budget for operating expenses related to capital projects. On number 14, the ratio of cash and investments to deferred revenues in the general fund was greater than or equal to 1:1. And our ratio is 5.27:1. Basically, we have more cash than deferred revenue. Number 15, did the district avoid being top heavy? The administrative cost ratio is what they're looking. The state of Texas says we are allowed to be at 12.5% in the difference in administration, and we are at 11.7. Number 16 is, the ratio of students to teachers was within the range according to the district size. We are in the range. The state recommendation for our district, our size, which is between 5,000 and 9,999 students, the low end would be 13, and the high end would be 22. And currently we are at 16.2. So we are almost right in the middle. We have teachers to students. Number 17, the question is, the ratio of students to total staff was within ranges according to district size. The recommendation for our district, our size, the low end would be 6.8 and the high end would be at 14, and we are at 7.4. So we are we're within their requirements. We have a total of 792 staff members and 5,938 students. Number 18 is the question is, the decrease in undesignated unreserved fund balance was less than 20% over the last two fiscal years. And basically it's saying a district should not feed off of the fund balance. We shouldn't go into fund balance just for operating expenditures. Special assignment or designations for certain projects, such as the ones you allowed this summer, are in accordance because they aren't part of the day-to-day operating expenses. Oh, I would just like to go back, I'm sorry. Just mention, fiscal year 9, our fund balance was at 5.7 million. Fiscal year 10, we were at 5 million. And then fiscal year 11, we're at 10.8 million. So we are at 80% higher. Number 19, the aggregate total of cash and investments in the general fund was more than zero. And basically, our total cash and investments was at 9.5 million. And then the investment, this is the one that changed from last year's first rating. The investment earnings in all funds meet or exceed the 3-month treasury bill rate. And we are at 20%. The 3-month treasury bill rate that they used, the rate they used was 9.5. I did do a little research, and then the last 3 months, the treasury bill rate has been between 9 and 11%. So that is like the average that they used. And so the district received a superior achievement rating because we scored a perfect score of 70 in all the possible indicators. On this slide, I have how the other districts in the region fared in this rating, and as you can see, every single one of the districts in, received a superior achievement. Another area that came into being by the Commissioner of Education ruling in 2007 that we needed to provide a financial management report along with the first public hearing that had certain disclosures, such as the superintendent's contract visible in the district website, summary of reimbursements received by superintendent and board members, summary of outside compensation fees received by the superintendent for professional consulting and or services, summary of amounts of gifts received by the superintendent and board members, and summary amounts of business transactions between school district and board members. And the first, the superintendent's contract was revised on September 18th of last month, 2012, and the contract is posted. The next requirement is reimbursements received by the superintendent and board members. And what we've done, and basically it's on the travel expenditures that are incurred. We listed every single, would you like for me to go down and name them or just, okay. We've got the superintendent and all the board members and any amounts received for per diem while on travel, district travel.
Those were per diem reimbursements?
Yes.
They're just standard reimbursements.
It's the standard reimbursement at the $45 a day that we have set for the district. And then in your case, Dr. Murphy, you were reimbursed for transportation, parking fees, and things of that nature. And 136 were related to internet usage while on business. The next requirement is outside compensation and or fees received by the superintendent for professional consulting and other personal services, and there was none reported. And then business transactions between school district and board of trustees for the 2010-11, and there were none. This is done through that conflict of interest documentation that we request that you sign off on. Gifts over 250 received by superintendent and board of trustees for the 2010-11, and there are none reported. And financial solvency provisions, these were additional requirements made because of the district, many districts across the state that were finding themselves in difficult situations due to lack of revenue. And so this is another set of information that we need to provide. The general fund expenditures by object code for the first quarter of the 2011-12 school year. And so we broke them down by object code, payroll costs, contracted services, supplies and materials, other operating costs, debt service, and capital outlay. And they are listed. And this information is provided to TEA after the first quarter of the year. And so expenditure total, we had $10.5 million during the first 3 months of our fiscal year. I apologize. Next question is, within the last 2 years, did the school district draw funds from a short-term financing note between the months of September and December? And we did not. The next question is, for the prior fiscal year, have a total general fund balance of less than 2% of total expenditures for general fund function codes 11 through 61? And we did not. And then, has the school district declared financial exigency within the past 2 years? And we did not. Comments or explanations for significant trends or measures involving, and so the question is the student to staff ratio significantly below the norm? And as I showed with the ratings, we are not. Rapid depletion of general fund balances, and we have not. We've actually increased. Budget figures and projected revenues and expenditures, there was no significant case of or incident of where we exceeded our budget or had to go into fund balance. And then the superintendent and business manager, it says, how many superintendents and business managers has your school district had in the last 5 years? And there have been 2 superintendents and 2 business managers. And at this point, if you have any questions, I could ask you.
I just want to, through the chair, just want to point out on the board travel that board receives the exact same per diem as any employee that travels. They do not have a separate or different rate. So just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. And I'd like to thank Ms. Aguirre. That was a really nice presentation. And God, it's wonderful to be superior. Thank you. It doesn't get any better. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this was a year back, right?
Yes.
This is
2010-11. 10-11, so it lags 1 year.
There was an exigency during that time period. It was caused by the state.
Yeah, right,
yes.
The state.
But an official report that...
the point's well taken. There's a lot of districts that are giving their first reports this month that are having to say something different.
And didn't meet the requirements because of a lot of their fund balances, and you know they did have to use more than their budgeted amount.
We're very fortunate.
So we are definitely in great shape.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And it made me very happy to see our student-teacher ratio. I mean, that's what it's all about. Thank you, Ms. Again.
Wait, we're not done.
Oh, we're not?
No, we have
you
to
want
open
ask
it
first?
Up for public.
Oh, okay. Would anyone from the public like to come speak? I see all your faces. Don't run up too fast. Okay, looks like you did a comprehensive, excellent report, Ms. Aguirre. Thank you very much. And I don't... Mr. Blanco, do we need to take any action, or that's just to be heard? Okay, thank you very much. Tony, that would take us now to 6 open forum.
And we don't have anyone signed up this evening for open forum.
Okay.
Item 7A, consider approval of district improvement plan and campus improvement plans. Ms. Grant?
As Ms. Grant approaches president, I'd like to acknowledge the attendance of all our principals that are here tonight. I've seen most of them, if not all, and we thank them for being here tonight.
Raise your hands.
And
raise your hands. Hi.
They're not normally required to attend board meetings unless they have specific guidance, so it's nice seeing them all here. And they're here, of course, to answer any questions you might have regarding the campus improvement plan.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy, and thank you, principals, for coming. It's a real pleasure to see you all here tonight. Ms. Grant?
Yes, ma'am. We have already presented initially the board, to the board, our improvement plans with the objectives. So we are here tonight to accept approval or any comments that you might have.
I'd like to make a comment. I've been reading these plans, probably since 1995 when Senate Bill 1 came into effect and they began requiring them. This is the best set of plans I've ever seen. They actually meant something. Yeah. They were wonderful. They meant something there. It wasn't just the old, you know, jabberwocky in there, just, you know, getting our business done and, you know, we'll just write something. It was meaningful. There were, you know, how many field trips are we going to take? What's our band teacher going to do? What's our music teacher? They were wonderful, and I want to thank you all very much. I know that you cared when you did this, and I know how much you care about our students by reading this, so thank you. I thoroughly appreciate it. Any other comments?
Yes. I have a little sentiment. Really
wasn't it great?
These.
Yes. Ms. Kosaris?
Specific.
I was just going to motion to approve the,
okay.
The district improvement plan and the campus improvement plan.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you very much. Tony?
Mrs. Kosaris?
Yes.
Mr. Cuadrado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Nicano?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes. And thank you again very much.
Thank you, principals. Appreciate it.
I don't want to get my... I'd rather be a little... Okay, Tony, that would take us to C.
Discussion and possible action regarding performance contract proposed by Johnson Controls for Kenyatta High School, Ms. Matthews.
And the committee was in agreement to recommend it, so I'm going to make a motion that we approve the performance contract proposed by Johnson Controls for Kenyatta High School.
I'll second that.
Before you all vote on that, there are some
adjustments
and changes that need to be made within the agreement. And I want to run through them. I know Mr. Bailey is here. The timelines and schedule number 4 are incorrect. I think they're off by a year. Those look to me to just be typos with one exception. And the contract came required on September the 30th, 2012. Obviously, it's coming on, so we're going to make an adjustment. And the any terms. There are 2 substantive changes we need to see made. The first is that there is a limit on the terms of liability that we normally, the district, do not agree to. The limit, the indemnification on the part of Johnson Controls, as currently drafted, to limit any liability to them in the amount of the actual payments received by them. Don't recommend that we agree to that. We actually like that portion of the sentence to be struck out of page 5, paragraph 15. And then there's also on page 6, paragraph 18, the dispute resolution provision includes a waiver to the right of jury trial, which we never recommended and we agreed to. And in fact, in all of our construction contracts, we require jury trials be allowed. We don't have any problem with the mediation of disputes, nor with the proposal that we run through JAMS, Inc. However, if the mediation is not successful, the district should preserve its right to a jury trial. If you're going to approve it, we would ask that be approved as subject to agreement with Johnson Controls on those points.
So I would amend my motion to include our legal counsel's recommendation.
It's actually another caveat. This item is related to item 10C, the review of the UAR and the ESPC by an independent third party. So if I suppose that if you approve this, then you would also have to approve the other one because it's a legal report.
And I would amend my second as well.
Mr. Bailey, does Johnson Control have a response to that? Or?
So basically what we're saying is that the motion is to approve contingent upon the changes to the contract as recommended, and also contingent upon the third-party review.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Well, the third-party review is another motion. We'll have to do that after this, right. Correct?
Okay. It's the way it's coming up on the agenda. It's okay, but Ms. Matthews is correct. We'll have to agree. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to hire a third party, and so it's in the contract, right? It's whoever we hire will do that.
Right.
And we're looking at to decide who we're going to hire in the next agenda item, which is not subject to the contract.
And I'd like to say something. Mr. Bailey, back in 1997, Johnson Controls issued this little badge to my youngest son, who is now a teacher himself. He's a little bitty kid on here. It's nice to do business with y'all. You've been here a long time. Actually, this is so old that this was a calling card on the back with like an hour's worth of calling you could get. And everybody got one as they went to the National School Board Association back in 1997. And I found this and thought it'd be very appropriate to say I'm glad we're finally able to do business with you.
Appreciate that. Thanks. 10 years old.
Yeah, I had you by the hand, I think, Mr. Coronado, also.
You want to pass it around?
Yeah, Farrell probably wouldn't be very happy if I passed it around. I'll just kind of...
I remember Farrell looking like that.
Yeah, he had a bunch of braces shoved in his mouth. Yeah, I thought it was really something that I'd saved this all these years, and, we're finally there that we can hire you and hopefully... get everything saving energy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
If I may, President.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So, Mr. Bailey, again, do you think this will be a problem? Or?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay.
What I request, would you want to draft your changes back too, so we can take those back, and you want me to draft those again?
I've got them actually marked up. Okay. I ordered them in the National Office for them.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, we'll work through that.
Okay.
Remember when your logo probably don't even have one logo?
Yeah, it's probably not even your logo anymore. Now, you don't get to keep it, though. That's near and dear to my heart. I've been carrying around for 20 years already.
I'll return.
Okay.
Are there still an hour in that calling card?
I think it, yeah, is that still good?
Ring.
Where you get the lady, you get the lady on the other end. Would you like to make a call? No other questions or comments. Tony?
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes. Thank you.
And then the related item, can we, President, would you suspend and move to that?
With the board's approval, that would be 10B.
10C.
I'm sorry.
Item 10C is consider approval of contract with Park Hill Smith Cooper for the UAR and ESPC review for the Kankakee High School Johnson Controls contract.
And just real quick, we did have some questions regarding this, and Ms. Matthews was going to get back to us. What we wanted you to do is a comparison. And the other question that I had, well, go ahead first and then.
They reduced their fee to $6,700 in the revised fee proposal.
Okay. And are they capable of doing that?
Yes, they are. He's very well qualified.
Okay. Do we...
Have we ever done work with them before?
I'm not sure if the school district has done work with them. I have done work with them before. They're actually a Claudel winning firm. We recently saw their schools, and they have some of their engineers have some credentials that no one else that responded to the RFQ has. He's a certified energy manager. He has, I actually was not prepared to talk about this thing, but he has, he does energy audits. He's a published author, modeling and lead EA credit. I'm sure very fascinating to him. But he's very well qualified, by far from anyone who responded.
Thank you.
And they're out of Lubbock.
Have they?
Pardon?
They're out of Lubbock.
Thank you.
Have they done any work with you all, or?
I'd have to check and see if we've actually done work with them in the past. Again, this is a very collaborative effort, though. Whoever is selected, we'll work hand in hand with to make sure that they have any of the information and questions answered that they have. So, we're more than willing to work with whoever the board selects.
But they do have an office here in El Paso, too.
Yeah, correct.
So there will be somebody that can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need a motion.
Any other questions?
I make a motion to approve the. Where are we? 10C. Do we have to enter into contract negotiations, or is this approval of the contract already, since it's under the 10,000, Mr.
Contestant? No, it's going to have to be.
Haven't we already negotiated?
Yes, we've already negotiated.
I have not seen a contract draft. I don't know that.
Negotiations. Enter into contract negotiations with Park Hill Smith Coopers for the commission. Oh, shoot.
No, for the UAR.
For the UAR and ESPC review for the Ganadillo High School Johnson Controls contract.
One second.
Thank you, Ms. Mendoza.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Blanco, since the amount of this is under $10,000, will the negotiations need to come back to the board?
No, I was going to ask that you actually allow us, assuming that there's nothing that we believe requires board approval to come back, if you'll allow the administration to finalize the agreement with them.
Well, Mr. Blanco, just real quick, because this is a professional service contract,
it is.
The other issue is that they're looking at getting another, which would put them over that.
It will, but if you've approved it with the award, as long as it's a, not that it's insignificant, but it's a very limited scope of what they're actually.
In other words, they could work on that scope right now, but once they start working on, if it is the other commissioning part, then.
Commissioning part will come up later tonight. That's going to be a separate agreement that we will bring back to you.
Yeah, but in other words, they could work on this, but if they were done the other stuff before that, then it would have passed.
No,
that.
Because you're going to go ahead and award it tonight. As long as, the other one's going to have to be separate.
Yeah.
You're right about that. But I just ask that you allow us, if there's not anything that we require board approval for, that you allow the administration to finalize that contract.
Okay, I'll amend my motion then.
And now I'll amend my second.
Thank you very
board.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Tony?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes. That would take us to D.
Johnson Controls, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You guys appreciate
and
it.
Jennifer, will you bring me my little bag?
Oh, wait.
Oh, please. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Item D is discussion and possible action to reconsider board action regarding RFQ 1202 for architectural and engineering services. For commissioning services, soils and engineering and technical services to include full geotechnical survey and report to and to consider recommendations from administration and to possibly schedule interviews for professional services to include engineering services covered by RFQ 1202. Ms. Matthews.
Through the chair. President, I was wondering if legal counsel has some comments here. I was wondering, Steve, if you would open this with some comments.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Murphy, President's role as members of the board. This item is on the agenda. There's going to be one item that is taken out of the RFQ, and that is 10B that I believe we're going to move forward with later on tonight. This is for the remainder of the work that was covered by RFQ 12-02. The board had initially taken some action to enter into discussions with one of the providers for that particular work. Through the course of those discussions, we realized that that initial contract award might have been inappropriate for a variety of different legal reasons, mostly associated with that vendor's response to the RFQ. It's my opinion, and we're asking the board to go back and initiate interviews with the providers that responded. There's going to be some requests made to each one of the providers to indicate whether they have some type of an interest in responding. Some of them might not. The ones that do respond with an interest will ask that you conduct an interview or otherwise form a committee to assist with the interview process so that this matter can be resolved and you can award the geotechnical and other work that was previously discussed.
So, Council, Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, you may.
Do we need to address the other, or we just actually go out for the RFQ for the full?
Well, we have the RFQ, it's already been issued, and we have responders. The question is, which of the responders is most qualified and best qualified to do this work, and whether or not there are, within the group of responders, other firms that are interested. Frankly, some of the responses to the RFQ are not specific enough for us to
work. The committee meeting that was discussed was that we were going to go out for actually interviews. So we were going to wash everything, go out for interviews, and then those would be done with the full board, and then we would make a recommendation from there.
That's up to you as the board to structure it if you want to have a committee from the administration.
Does there need to be an action item taken, or is that what?
Yes.
That's what was discussed the last meeting.
Yes, the reason action is required is because at the last meeting there was actually a decision by the board to enter into negotiations with one provider. That provider has since indicated to us in writing that they're not interested in pursuing the contract on the terms that were discussed. So we can go back and interview.
And that's what I'm saying. Do we need to reverse that decision, or do we actually just need to make a motion to interview the candidates that...
We have to cease negotiations in written form.
That's a very good point.
So there's two items, and that's why I was asking, because I thought we had to cease and then go out for.
If you would, I think the administration has worded this broadly enough where Mr. Gatlin, we can issue the notice to Moreno Cardenas. They actually wrote to us already saying that they're not interested in the contract. We'll confirm that in writing. If the board would go ahead and take action on that, it would make it clear that we're ending that negotiation.
You direct administration to...
Yes, and then we'll start with new interviews, and that's going to be scheduled by you and the administration as you direct.
So the motion would be to end contract negotiations with Moreno Cardenas?
Correct.
Okay.
Before we go further, President, may I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Regarding the interviews, Mr. Blanco, is the board available to interview all respondents to RFQ 1202? Are only certain respondents based on their response to RFQ 1202?
We are going to have to write to all of the respondents.
All responders.
And ask them. I believe there's four.
Well, that was the committee chose.
All of the respondents?
How many respondents do we have?
It's 22 respondents.
It'd be the ones that you ranked the top group. Oh. Write to them and ask them if they're interested in interviewing for this work.
Regarding specific to the geotech?
Yes, the remaining items that the administration needs to have completed.
Okay.
And then bring them back, interview them. That was the initial ranking from the committee. And we'll start that process and select the firms that you want to award this to.
Okay.
After we cease negotiations, we have to do that in writing. I guess we have to show that they accepted it by certified mail or whatever before we get in.
Well, I know that's a good point. Legally, I think Moreno Cardenas has already written to us and told us that they're not. But I do think as a formality, you're right, we should go ahead. And I appreciate Mr. Rodriguez's motion that we act on that so that it's clear that we've ended the negotiation that we initiated with Moreno Cardenas. We're essentially starting over with the interview process.
And then the last thing, President, if I may.
Yes,
Mr. Blanco, the other we do have another option. That is close the RFQ and go out again?
Yes, absolutely.
But that wasn't the committee's recommendation,
right?
Because we're in a crunch time.
Yeah, or you could completely close it out and start the process over again if you choose to.
Okay, just wanted to get everything on the table. Thank you.
So my motion is to end contract negotiations with the Moreno Cardenas engineering firm. Is that the proper name?
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Okay, now that we're on this item, now the other question that we had, we were just going to go for geotechnical services and later surveying, or we were going to do that all together? And the other question was, did people respond to the surveying part, or did we have to go out for RFQ on that?
No, the interviews would be for soils testing as well as construction materials testing.
And not the survey?
Not the survey, from what I understood, and that it would be for district-wide use of the soils.
And but the question was, you were looking at surveying, and it was critical for us to actually do the surveying so we know where we put it on the land, especially at the pre-K-8. So the concern was, did people respond to that our professional services qualified to do the surveying so we could award that?
Only yes, if they decided to sub it out, but not directly. I don't believe that anyone who responded directly can perform the work.
So could, would we, what's the recommendation there?
We made a recommendation, Ms. Mathis.
Yes, I'm trying to recall the email, but
we made a recommendation to go ahead and issue a new RFQ for the surveying work.
For the surveying work, okay. And actually, that's under 10,000, right, we were looking at?
Oh, yes, each individual one's like, I have some.
It's still professional service? Okay, then we'll actually, so this is what we're doing. We're actually going to go out, interview those individuals that want to respond to the RFQ when it comes to geotechnical surveying and
construction materials testing.
And the construction materials testing. And that's a motion. So whoever wants to, we'll come back.
Of the ranked group, that's correct, Dr. Murphy, the group that the administration initially ranked, we're going to interview them. That was the initial step that you were at before you decided to not conduct the interviews.
Okay.
So we're going back to the interview process.
Of the ranked group.
So do we need board action to begin the interview process now?
Yes, I'd like to actually have you direct the administration to schedule it.
Okay.
Yeah. Calendar. And that's part of the direction. So.
Then I would move to...
There's a motion.
Oh, okay, good. And second? Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion?
We don't have a second. We only have Ms.
Rodriguez.
Second.
Thank
you.
Tana,
did you second
the
second
motion? Okay,
we
have a
second.
Tony?
Mrs. Cousin?
Yes.
Mr. Cuadrado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And the other question that I have, I'm looking at having another facilities and finance next week. do we want
it?
When do we want to interview? I think it's critical for us to move this project forward.
If you would allow Dr. Murphy and I to maybe get together tomorrow and
let us know.
Yeah, you know, sort out all the, because we've got a whole lot of stuff coming up. Sort everything out. Find some dates and then contact everybody if they're good with the dates. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. One of the problems we have is next week, other than Halloween, we have a meeting every night.
Are we having a costume party?
You have a meeting every night, or we have a meeting every night?
Well, we have the road show or a board meeting.
So we only have one meeting next week.
Two.
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 Monday and Thursday.
And then Halloween's Wednesday, so Tuesday we have a road show.
Monday's Tony, can you actually add me on the Outlook on those? On the Outlook, so I could put them on my calendar?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so Dr. Murphy and I will do that tomorrow and get with everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, that would now take us to E.
Discussion and possible action regarding inclusion of continuing education and association dues as part of speech language pathologist compensation package and related SLP items. Dr. Murphy, Ms.
Gusto,
Ms.
Hammack. President Searles, board members, Ms. Hammack and I are here to give you an update and discussion regarding our SLP and where we stand. Pam is here as well. We also wanted to discuss, and we took this to the board committee, the inclusion of continuing education and possible inclusion of continuing education and association dues as part of the speech language pathologist compensation package. I do want to let y'all know that I had a conversation with our SHARS representative here in town. Actually flew on a plane with her a few days ago, and she told me that we recently received $230,000
in charge reimbursement. We're very proud of that. It's actually the highest we've had in a couple years. And those CHARs are reimbursements largely from special education services that are done to, regarding our students. But the neat thing is that when the reimbursement comes, it goes into the general fund. It's not specific to special ed. So CHARs reimbursements are really good things. They're kind of like E-rate reimbursements in that they can be funded for anything. And the point that the woman brought out to me as I flew with her was that when we don't offer special education services for whatever reason, good, bad, and different, like the situation that we find ourselves in with SLPs at certain campuses, we don't get CHARs billing, and we're not reimbursed. And what hammered home to me on the plane was that the fact that we're not offering these services at 6 of 9 of our campuses is tough, and we're working diligently. But what I didn't realize was that we're also losing money in the tens of thousands of dollars to our general fund by not offering these services. And I think that's a dynamic. It was certainly a new dynamic to me. I hadn't thought of it that way, and I just wanted to make sure the board is also aware of that. Where are we, Ms. Hammack, as far as hiring right now?
We still, as per Martha Carrasco, we don't have any applicants.
Okay, and where are we on our Rio Grande contract?
Rio Grande, in the next 2 weeks, we should be at 3.7.
3.7 out of what was the maximum?
4.5.
So we're almost there. We're going to be at 3.7, and we're supposed to be at 4.5. So that's good. So at least we're getting back to where we were supposed to be with Rio Grande. Ms. Carrasco?
Sorry, I was stepped out for a minute. Did you address the dues and the memo that we...
Well, yes, and the item, board, that we're bringing forward to you is, do we include the item on their compensation package of paying for continuing education credit and possibly association dues? And Martha was going to look into the legality of some of this, and but where we were.
Yes, and Dr. Murphy had asked me to look at this and to see if we can include these funds as part of a benefit to attract the SLPs. However, in looking at that, continuing education credit is, I believe, Ms. Hammack has informed me that they need like 10 hours of CPE a year. And the credit, basically, Ms. Hammack does offer it through staff development funds in her department. So she does budget for that. So there's no need to provide additional monies for this. Also, the association dues, as a practice and as a district, we don't pay for individual association fees because it does benefit on an individual basis. We do pay organizational memberships to associations, and what that means is that if, as an employee, leaves the district, that slot is available in that organization for another employee to fill. So we do not pay association fees for individuals. Ms. Hammack has informed me that there is an organization called ASHA, which is the American Speech and Hearing Association, and the fee for that to be a member is $225. And basically, $225 I don't think is something that's, you know, a carrot out there to attract, you know, additional people. However, the ASHA, you don't need to be a member of that organization to work at an ISD. Basically, that is needed to work at clinics or hospitals. So if we would be paying such a benefit, then we're setting them up to work for another setting. So basically, the recommendation really is not to do this. I think last time that we spoke about the update on the SLPs, I didn't mention the stipend. So if the board is interested in being a lot or significantly more competitive, then I think the stipend is the way to go versus trying to attract them through membership fees.
Thank you, Ms. Carrasco. Any, would the board like to talk about this? Yes.
Is it no action or what? No action?
Well, yeah. We do have action.
No, but the recommendation is no action, so.
So administration's recommendation is to not pursue this. So I think Armando's right, I think it's no action. But we did want to give you an update as to where we were and that the Rio Grande contract is getting better, 3.7 out of 4.5. We appreciate that. And we're still continuing. We posted this in the El Paso Times a week ago Sunday, and we're continuing to try to contract. We do have one person in the hopper, is that correct, that we're looking at least potential?
One potential, 2 days next week, 3 the following, and then she'll be full-time probably the third week of November. And then they would give me a name, but there's potentially another person.
And this is with the Rio Grande Services.
Okay, so not our...
Not our employee, no. As of today, I have looked at that, and we have no applicants.
Any comments from the board? Do the other districts pay any of this? Any of the association dues?
No.
No? Nobody else does any of it? And what I'm hearing then is the continuing education credits are covered under staff development.
Yeah,
and that you have that in your budget and their credits can be fully realized through what...
Yes,
you have budgeted?
It's 10 CEUs a year.
Uh-huh.
And every 2 years they have to have two hours of ethics training. And so the region typically doesn't charge for some of this.
Okay.
And those things that they do charge for, I'm able to think.
And they're...
They absolutely meet their...
Are taking care of those?
Their state licensure requirements every year.
Okay, through us. They don't have to go out and find their own.
And occasionally some people choose to go out of town. I had a speech therapist who got married and left, and she chose to go to ASHA, the national conference, and so she was given staff development days, but it was all at her own expense.
Okay.
It's very expensive to travel.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Nothing. Okay. Thank you. The board will take no action.
Thank you, board.
That would take us to F, Tony.
Item F, the secondary school's call clerk report. Mr. Rodriguez.
It is me.
It is. No.
Yeah.
No.
Huh.
I really did. I was thinking,
No, I requested this.
Oh, okay.
Did you really?
Yes. Did
you?
You did.
It is
that. Do you want to make a comment?
Just real quick, this is one of the reports I had to ask Dr.
Thank
Murphy
you, Dr.
when he first came on board and had not received a cohort report. We received it the last, I believe it was about 2 months ago. And so major concern here is, and what I had asked for way back when was, I wanted to see how many freshmen were freshmen, how many freshmen were should be sophomores, how many freshmen should be juniors, how many freshmen should be seniors. How many sophomores are sophomores? How many sophomores should be juniors? How many sophomores should be how many sophomores should be juniors? How many sophomores should be seniors? And then how many juniors should be juniors and how many juniors should be seniors? And then how many seniors are first year senior, fifth year senior, if there's any sixth year senior? And the main what I was and the board what we were trying to look at was actually to figure out. Especially after the tax testing, how much of those students were actually, we got a report that some had 30 credits that they still had and some had 40. And so what we wanted to look at when we received that report was to see...
God bless you.
Okay, bless you. Was to see the amount of, in other words, were we addressing it when they were seniors and saying, hey, you have 30 credits, or were we realizing that we had three-year freshmen, and so now what I would like to see that same report, but on top of that report, I want to look at, especially on the 10th grade and the 9th through the 11th, and add it to that.
10th grade is what you have in front of you. Mm-hmm. And what I did is, if I may, what we did is I only took the 10th grade, and what we did, and this is all in teams, okay? So what we did is this is the cohort of 2015. So that means when the 9th graders came in, when they were 9th graders, because these kids are now 10th graders, okay? When they came in as 9th graders, whenever they enter in as a 9th grader, they're given a cohort. So they're the cohort of 2015. The reason why I gave you the sophomore is because it also is the accountability year. So you just, but if you like this report, I can duplicate it and I can add other things that the board would want from it.
Well, I would like to look 3 years back. And the other issue, too, is, you know, the looking at not just the regular cohort, but the LEP cohort as well.
Well, what we can do, because the LEP kids are absolutely part of this, and as a matter of fact, Tech and I were just talking a little while ago, we absolutely can do that. I can pull, if you notice, I kept the at-risk codes because I find that that's valuable information on the report, and it says at-risk, it says LEP, migrant, and economically disadvantaged. Those are those codes. If it's a 1, that means that they qualify for that code. So, and the ones in yellow are the students behind cohorts. So if you look at that, it says if you go to current grade, see it says the very first column is student cohort, okay, which is 2015. And then 5 columns over it says current grade. So the first one that you see in yellow, I did take out names and things so you could, but I did keep the ID, and why I did that so Hector could go in, and then now he can go in, I can give him this report, and he can go in also now and look up the student, and look up, or he can ask our assistants to look up the kids, you know, which one of the kids that I'm on cohort, how many are LEP, how many are economically disadvantaged, how many are migrant, when did they fall out of cohort? Did they fall out of cohort because of lack of attendance? Did they fall out of cohort because of failure rate? Just, you know, we can find all that information because it's all housed in teams.
The other thing that would be neat to look at, sure, too, is looking at the class when they were freshmen, how many of them were, let's say, 200, how many were when they went to the sophomore class. In other words, that class cohort on the 4th grade, on the 4-year schedule. So let's say like 200 on when they were freshmen, you know,
180 the next year. Okay, we're on the same page, yes, absolutely. Oh, I absolutely can do that. And as a matter of fact, if I took this year's seniors, which I do have, by the way, but I didn't want to run all the reports and then you could say, well, then I can add this column and this column because I can't. But we have the seniors right now. So the senior graduating class right now is a cohort of 2013. But they came into the system in 2009, 2010. So I have historical data on those kids from 2009 all the way up to now, which I can then show you how many of the kids, you know, and I can go into what you said that we could.
And that's out of the 3 years, too. So I want to see, uh-huh, like this graduating class backwards.
You want me, and so you want to follow the whole cohort?
Correct.
Okay. So you'd like the
both
seniors.
Reports,
okay.
Yeah.
I can do that. And also, too, though, what I'd like to just give you some background on this report. If you notice the entry code, the enrollment comment, where it says NY rollover, that means new year rollover. If it's blank, it means those kids are new to Kanya TOISD. So,
can we have the amount of years they've been at Kanya TO? So if it's,
I could, in other words, for the ones, of course, that have been here.
Say,
you know what I can do? Yes, I can.
So they came in as,
okay. Get it in my head. Yes. Yes, I can do
this. She says yes.
Number of years in kind of to you, Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Yes, I can do that.
Can you show their enrollment, you know how you showed her grade level?
Uh-huh.
And then when they were enrolled and then they withdrew?
Yes.
Or the next year promotion?
Absolutely.
Can you show, will that help us? Or will that help him with
You know, I can
just can you transfer that over to a deputy?
I can absolutely.
That will show if they were reclassified, if they were promoted. I think this is what we're aiming for.
When you talk about the reclassified, so you're talking about a student that comes to us and then we reclassify them?
I don't care about reclassification. It'll show there. So if you started with us as a freshman, it'll show if it was
increasing
cohort. Going back to reclassification, mm-hmm. it'll show there if he was a cohort or not.
Absolutely. And it will, I think what Mr. Rodriguez is saying too is that we can come up with a report and we've got to play with it, but that's okay because we love doing it. We love playing with it, the reports. But we could go back to the 2009-2010 year when the kids came in that are now our seniors that came in as freshmen. We can go in there, Ms. Gonzalez, and we can absolutely look at those kids as far as, and we could get a report, and we're working on a query right now, like saying if they have less than 5.5 credits, if they have, just what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, if those kids have 5.5, but they're between 11.5, they're 12 before, and then they're up to, 15.5, then if they're 16, if they go, so we can do that and break that apart and show you where those kids are. So we absolutely can do that. I mean, all we have to do is dump it onto a spreadsheet, create the columns that you need, and then we're going to add the amount of years in kind of TO. That's going to take a little bit different time to go to a different out of it, but I can
do it. No, I'd rather have it on an Excel sheet so we could see the consistency.
Okay. Because that's exactly the format I can give it to you.
And not just... The other thing, looking at, we're going to do that on with all our class, but, then we'll do it with LEP students.
The information's right here. So if we could extrapolate the information and create from that report an LEP one, so you'd have all that information right there.
And so, but I want to separate it. So in other words,
absolutely.
Throughout the, a ninth grader, eighth grader, ninth grader, tenth grader, well, no, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th. Then we could.
Absolutely.
Okay. Throughout the 3 years?
I can't help but notice that one student here is 17 years old in the 10th grade.
Yes, ma'am.
And that they're not new to the district. Did they
could
maybe?
You,
page 20. Well, yeah, the second to the last page. This is the last page of the
pie charts.
The birthday, ma'am?
94.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see it.
Ms. Brigham, if I may, so I count 23 yellow lines mm-hmm. in all of this. What does that tell me? There are 23 yellow lines
There's
that
you still doing in behind cohort, sir.
In the entire high school?
No, this is only 10th
grade. 10th grade. 23 kids behind cohort in the 10th grade currently.
Yes. What I liked. And I did not know the results of what was going to look at this, except that I did. This is the report that it looked like that I gave you, that Mr. Coronado and Mr. Rodriguez asked me if I could make it a little bit more friendly. Okay? This is the report we came up with. I'm just trying to make this friendlier. Okay? But what we noticed, and that I think that's very germane right now, is this is 10th grade, so this is our accountability year. What I'd like to call your attention to is how many new kids you see coming into the 10th grade. We have lots of new kids coming into the 10th grade, which is the accountability.
Yes, sir.
Annette, are you telling me that every one of them here listed that says NY rollover is new to the district?
Oh, no.
No.
It's the opposite.
The opposite.
It's the opposite. New year rollover means they were there last year in ninth grade. We rolled them over into the system.
But that doesn't tell us where they were new in ninth grade or not. They just tell us.
No, that's
correct. They just tell
correct,
us they're not
sir.
New now.
That's correct. They're not new as 10th graders. Right. That doesn't mean we know where they, if they came in. I have that information.
Okay. But the other report was for the previous year, right?
This one, yes, but I can give you that too, sir. I just
make one. Because part of when we had listed and when that report was given to me, we were going through Dr. Murphy's evaluation. One of the goals of the of the board was to reduce the cohort.
Reclassification by 25%.
Right. So, and you know, we need the one from the previous
I can do that this
year so that we can
absolutely
tell.
So, okay,
and this year.
Oh, I'm following. Okay.
And I guess the reasons for the cohort will be, can you tell us what the reasons are? Either they didn't pass, or I guess can you go into more information about whether they were new to the district, that ninth grade or not? Juan, I think, is that what you're talking about?
Why are they behind cohort?
Yeah.
Betty?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, I can do that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they're new to the district, we may not know.
No, exactly. If they're new
if
to
they've
the
been
district,
with us, we'll know.
No, but I have a clarified it.
Yeah.
If they're new to the district, sir, I can tell you why we place them. First of all, if any Texas school places them in ninth grade, they're in that ninth grade cohort. So right. Up to an outbreak, I was not kind of here
right.
On who did that cohort. Now, what I can do is we brought over how we transferred those credits, and I have that all information. So I can at least get that information for the kids that were new in ninth grade. I can get that information how they came to us. And then,
if they're behind cohort and they've been with us, the answer is they haven't earned the credits.
Mm-hmm. Right. The thing is, we have all the information here, and why I did this is I'd like to delve a little bit deeper in what you want, because I think
well,
we can get exactly
what
you want.
I want to be able to separate those that we know that we have been with us for
that
all this
us,
time, especially
right.
Since ninth grade, and while we've had them for that first year, they somehow didn't get their credits here. I want to know why.
Absolutely.
I mean, the amount of those.
And that's why it would be a good idea to see how many years they have with the
right.
District.
Yes.
The information I can give you is very objective.
Yes,
exactly. I can give you what's in the system. Then after that, we can go to the next step. And then I can go to the high school and say, okay, now, based upon this information that I've received from teams, based upon this ninth grade, I have X amount of kids that have failed these courses. Then I can go, and then we start analyzing the information and
okay.
Using that. And that's what I think you want.
So the kids that have been here the whole time and they're behind cohort, you would like not only the information, but you'd like an explanation.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And that's that next step going to the high school, talking to counselors.
And then, of course.
Is our high school principal here?
She was.
And of course, those that we didn't know, in other words, everyone with us for this time that our transfers in, those that are behind cohort.
But I can still give you that information.
Right.
What I can do is I could create another report for you, and I can separate it by 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th when we get the students in.
Right.
And if we get them in, like you said, and they're coming in to us, because we're getting kids in that are coming in at cohort, at like cohort 2014,
mm-hmm.
And they're behind cohort already, and we've inherited them.
Yep.
And so our role mm-hmm. is to make sure we identify those kids and accelerate it. So I will absolutely get, so the information that you're asking for, I can absolutely get. And then the next step, I know what the next step, what you need for, but the next step, what I see for is that we, Pam and I get together and then we go to the high school and we say, okay, these are the things, and to make sure just like, you know, with peers that we verify, do you know all these kids and what is the history on these kids? And that's when I get the subjective
you know,
information on.
And
on.
I'm sorry.
All right, because I remember that Amanda and I had been asking for this from even Pam before
yeah.
Doc got here. And of course, we went through issues with respect to administration
and teams
and what have you, and, you know, 5 years later, we still don't have, or 4 years later, we still don't have what Mondo and I had
requested.
And we really are concerned with the ninth grade kids.
Yeah, well,
at that time.
We wanted to be able to analyze everything so that way we could address different students' needs
mm-hmm.
and see how we could, I mean, see how administration could address them. Whether it was our kids that, you know, didn't pass the tax, but had 30, 40 credits, and now they're seniors, but yet we...
And this information, what you need to know is this information, the team's information goes directly into the Eduforia. which then can go into as far as the subjective data and the assessment data and things like that that we can correlate to. So,
And looking at, just real quick, if I might interject, Mr. Cornana, is, I guess the first priority is to look at LEP, but it would be nice to look at those other subgroups, whether it's economically disadvantaged, the migrant students, or at risk, how they're doing across the board. And the main concern is, you know, are we being proactive, or are we being reactive? And I guess that's what our concern was, and that's why we wanted to see the cohort way back when, and that's why we requested.
And part of the reason that came about is when we started getting, if you guys remember, many moons ago, that these kids started coming out to our board meetings towards the end of the school year, asking us to let them walk, and then we go, well, wait a minute, what happened to you that you don't have your credits and whatever? So we started looking into it, and we said, okay, so there was a lot of issues involved, obviously, is why would we let them stay on, not, you know, basically remediate them and get them caught up. And now we're facing the tune several years later, when they want to graduate and they either don't have their credits or they haven't passed their test for whatever reason, the absences. We went through all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And at some point, the district wasn't giving them, or rather, we didn't know how many of those kids were being given a chance or actually to go through tutoring to catch them up, to do all the stuff necessary.
When was the student's needs being addressed?
And they weren't being addressed. We felt, okay, the school district is complicit in you guys not being able to comply in terms of, not complicit, but rather, we didn't help you. And at one point, does this, you know, not just this board, but previous board, we're very divided on whether we wanted to let them walk or not because of those issues. And at one point we felt we need to start making sure that those needs are addressed. And once we do that, we're going to have to stick to our policy of we're not letting anybody walk. If you had an opportunity, fine. But as long as we've addressed and identified you from the beginning at ninth grade that there's an issue, or even coming into ninth grade that there's going to be an issue, and we make sure that we tackle that. Right?
Yeah. Because we were seeing a large group, let's say, a large group of being reoccurring freshmen.
Yes.
And so that's when we need to address the issue, not when they're sophomore, junior, and wanting to graduate with their class.
You know, Ms. Bonner and Jordan Frescas, I'll bring this to them. They'll say, oh, yeah, I know this kid. Yeah, I know this kid. Yep, that kid is here. That's right. You know, and so this is more of, it can be used also as an audit tool as far as making sure that all those interventions are there. Because I feel that when I bring them down, the kids, you know, I can come take the, I can just add the name on it. I just have to add the column because the names are here on this page. And then I can just pull out all the kids that are yellow, you know, and then I can bring them right now. I mean, you know,
it's,
tomorrow,
yeah.
I can bring to Ms. Bonner and I can say, yep, this kid, this kid, this kid. And I could give that same report to Hector and he'd go, okay, here's all the kids in it.
And what it's supposed to be is more of a consistent, systematic approach when we look at it for you all as administration saying, okay, you know what, we have, you know, 50, you know, half of our class is repeating freshmen. What happened within that year? And so we're able to look at it, not just, you know, this student's not doing this. And
that's why this, and we worked so hard, the technology department worked so hard with Eduphoria. I think it was 2 years ago, right when I got here, to make sure that when we had a smooth transition, and we now back up into Eduphoria every night. So the information that's on Teams is also on Eduphoria. Now Eduphoria, as you all know, then we have teachers all the way down to the classroom level that can call up this kid and know, look at this kid is behind cohort. So we, and then we can set intervention strategies based on that. So what I'm saying is, this is, we're not keeping this in a, lack of a better word, a data warehouse that nobody can get into. We're putting this into, this is more for me. I love this stuff, okay, the techie in me. Eduphoria gives me a headache. but because, you know, it has way too much work in it. And, you know, but it's very friendly for the teachers. So every night we're backing up. So you need to know we're not using two separate systems. And that's very important for you to know as far as audit-wise and as far as accountability-wise. So, yes, does that mean I'm going to come down and all these kids are going to be absolutely targeted and all this? I don't know. I would think most of them would be. But I do think it's a very good exercise for me to do. But I bet you when I give this to Ms. Bonner or Jordan Prescott, they're going to say, oh, yeah, and that was what's happening. And like you said, that I can get the subjective, mm-hmm. and we can create that in a spreadsheet.
You know, I also want to make sure there's a very important component here that we're not talking about, and that's parents. That it isn't just our job, it isn't just the teacher's job, it isn't just the computer's job or the counselor's job. These kids all have parents, and God willing, I hope they're all being notified. You know, your kid isn't.
You know.
And here's why your kid isn't. And what are you going to do? And if they don't know what to do, well, then here, you know, maybe we can give you some helpful hints.
I had...
Because they're responsible. They're their children.
I had four parents come on Friday.
Good.
And what four parents came on Friday, and what I do is they leave my office with the kids with the credits, attempted credits, and what they have. And they looked, and I said, we have an issue here.
Yeah.
And they went, oh. And I told them, I said, I'm not the only one with this information. I said, the high school counselors have this information. The middle school counselors have this information. So if a parent comes to me, I made that practice 10 years ago.
Yes.
They leave with the information on where their kids sit.
But I think that homeschool connection with the parent, guardian, whoever the adult is in the home, is incredibly important. And they need to be responsible for their kids. Yes, sir.
And you know, Annette, I don't know if you remember, we did this with specifically the juniors as they became seniors. We had the parents come in and sign
good.
A statement saying, we are aware
I like
that our child is not on track to graduate, and this is what he needs, and you know ahead of time. Because those people,
that's
the parents
great.
Are coming back up to the board at the end and
blaming you.
Blaming us.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we had them sign off. I don't know if this high school is still doing it.
I think it's wonderful. If they're not, let's start it back up.
And we have it at our disposal.
Yeah.
We should continue that.
Mr.
And actually, with respect to that now, I think we need to get any freshman who is off cohort and do that, is get the parent to come in and sign and say, this is what your kid
absolutely.
Is needing. He's off cohort, and this is what you're needing, and we want you to sign, and this is what... Our
yeah.
plan is to get them, and we want you to participate.
Mr.
That's
Clark,
the way we did it with the seniors coming in, and I think we ought to make sure that that's still in place, and that
starts at the freshman level.
Freshman cohort, actually, for every cohort. If they get off cohort on 10th grade, do the same thing again, bring it back on. Whenever point they come off cohort, we need to get the parent in and say, "This is what's going on with your kid.
Yeah.
This is what our plan is. We want you to help."
Brisky.
We want you to be aware. Sign here, please.
Mr. Coronado, if I recall correctly, the student also signed off.
Yes, and the student yes, signed off.
The
yes.
student signed off, the student. Parents signed off, everybody was on the yeah. same page. They knew that,
and,
that they were
in jeopardy. I've been at the high school, and one of the things that I noticed at the high school is that each counselor has this big old book of, you know, of where the kids are, and so... I do think there is, I think all we need to do is close that loop. And I think we have all the information with all the things that we need to have that loop closed. So I'm hearing what you're saying. But what I would like to do is to work on this report, and I can give it to you as I progress. And I mean, I can give it to you, Tuesday. I can give you some difference with some columns added as early as Thursday. And then you can come back and give me more feedback and say, okay, this is, now I'd like this. And I could do that every Thursday packet until you say, okay, this is it, you've got it.
I really, really would like to see the revitalization of what Mr. Coronado is speaking. And
I
make,
need to go check on that.
And yeah, if you could, and sure. You know, maybe in our Thursday packet, slip a copy of the letter that the parent and the student is getting, a little prototype.
Boy, is it
I know Jim is doing it because that's the issue we had when Jim was...
Yeah, and maybe the new one doesn't know this.
We need to make sure that that continues.
Thank you very much.
At least go and see if they're closing the loop, and if they're not, then we create one to make sure it is.
Yeah, thank you.
And so this will be a report. Hopefully, it will be a yearly report, and we can revise it and look at it.
I'm probably think semester-wise.
Or quarter, yeah.
That would be nice.
I think it really should be semester.
This would be like a scholarship report at the end of the year, and we could do the semester at the end of the
once
semester.
Once I get it to the way you want it.
Okay.
And, I give you a couple of
and that's a working document. So.
And then you can say, no, this is fine, and this is what I like to do. And we save it in the system and can run it any time from then on.
Do we need to give these back to you?
No.
Okay.
So
they are confidential as far as with student ID, but yes. Definitely.
We don't need no action, right? Just
okay. And
right?
No action.
Okay.
Anything else? Any questions?
No, thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Rodriguez, for...
Sorry, Letty, for stepping on you.
Bringing that to our attention and causing this to be reported on.
I do want to point out, President, if I may, that both our completion rate and our graduation rate, which involve everything that we're talking about over the last 20 minutes, have gone up considerably over the last 3 years. We've greatly improved.
Absolutely.
In both of those cohort tracking rates, graduation and completion. We've met our goal and exceeded our goal every year since I've been here.
And I think we're better.
Okay. And that would, I guess, thank you very much, Ms. Brigham. We appreciate this report and being so frank with us. To the consent agenda, Tony.
Item A, the consent agenda and administration recommends approval as presented.
Does anyone have anything they would like to pull off of here, letters A through O?
If not, I'd like to make a motion that the board approve the consent agenda items 8A through O.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. And with the board's approval, I would like to ask if we could move 10A and 10B forward.
No, don't have a problem with that.
Anybody? Everybody's good with that? Okay. Thank you very much, Tony. Then we will proceed with 10A.
Item 10A, consider approval of contract with Taffy for plan review. Ms. Matthews?
And the committee's recommendation was to cease or to end contract negotiations with TASB, so I'll make that as a motion.
I'll second.
President Searles, board members, Ms. Matthews has provided you a letter on your chair tonight. It's in blue regarding commissioning and also regarding TASB. It's in white, actually. Single page note of recommendation.
The blue one?
No, the white one, single page.
This one. On a letterhead. This one? Okay.
There were some questions as to whether the different roles the different entities are playing with the management of the project. For example, the CMR, who's conducting the plan review, and they are actively doing so. We're working with them together with Carl Daniel. However, when the CMR reviews the project, what they're primarily looking for, of course, their goal is to be able to build the project. So they want it to be within our budgeted guaranteed maximum price in order for it to move forward. So the majority of their items that they're looking for is areas for us to meet our number, for us to be able to move forward. They make money when they get on the ground and they get moving. The bond project manager, their responsibility is primarily to manage the process. Procedures, pay application process, a lot of it is paper pushing. A lot of it is communication with the principals, the end users, making sure the expectations are aligned, working with the architects, making sure those things are continue to be on budget. The role of TASB is very specific to educational facilities, and they bring much more to the table than just a financial review. They can review it from the quality of the educational spaces, from security, from safety, and also of the members that you've met, both Casey Sledge and Mike Brooks. They have extensive experience with maintenance and operations, and they can look at this. We're not just talking about first costs here, but what that area is going to cost to operate, maintain, custodial over the life of the project. How is this efficient for the operations, and how are we, as each of we build each of these facilities, we're increasing our operational burden, and they can analyze it from that point of view. So they have a much broader perspective from the owner than simply first cost and simply saving construction dollars and moving the project forward.
Okay. No questions.
Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Matthews?
I'll just add, Ms. Searles, as we said the last time we talked about this, administration stands ready to do whatever the board asks us to do, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and if the motion passes, we will carry on.
So what I'm hearing from you is we have three people right now. Mm-hmm. We have a CMR.
Correct.
And listed are the jobs that mm-hmm. person or corporation would do. Then we have a bond project manager yet to be hired, but we can read here what they're going to do. Then we have commissioning agents, and what I'm reading, and I think I asked you this the other night, they're specific for mechanical and electrical. That's all the commissioning agent is there to look at.
And so I think where we are right now with the projects is a huge testament to how important plan review is. For example, right now our project is out of budget and we're struggling to bring that into alignment. That's the primary reason why we're on hold. And if you have somebody who's by your side consistently from the beginning through the end, you can be working hand in hand with them so that we don't have to come to these kinds of stops again.
Which is our administration.
Can anybody answer for, you know, I've been through other bonds in this district. I've built schools in this district. We've never hired a commissioning agent, one. Never. Is it something?
It's new to the lead
new
certification.
New to the, okay, that's the key. That's is the lead certification correct. Why we're hiring?
Correct.
That it would normally not need to be done? If you didn't
yeah,
want
true. And there's lead. Different levels of lead commission. There's different levels of commissioning, which there's the fundamental, the enhanced, the measurement and verification, but that's kind of getting.
Yeah, that's, right don't bother going there. But am I correct? That's why we're wanting a commissioning agent, is for that lead
yes, correct.
Certification.
And it's kind of an emerging.
Hmm? We're off topic. Oh, yeah, we're off. We're not. The commissioning agent is an extra job
well,
item.
I just, she's got it on here, and I just, you know, she's got this on her little paper, so I figured it was all under one thing. And what we're looking at now is TASB to do what obviously they've told us they can do and what you have written here. And none of these people that you have currently lined up on here, the CMR, bond project manager, or the commissioning agent, or yourself, rolls over into the jobs that TASB would do?
Correct. They do come from different angles, but I can tell you right now we need to do some brainstorming on how we are going to how we're going to make this happen. And I think another set of eyes would be very useful. And definitely.
So that this is essentially going to fall into your job description, if will you
correct,
you'll be the one
filling in the gaps there.
Okay.
For example, VMEC is doing an excellent job of reviewing, and we're we have all of their recommendations, as well as some recommendations that I've made. But we still have a gap. We still have a gap, and we're thinking of ways on how to fill it.
Okay.
CDA is helping as well. They're here tonight, and you know we were on the phone as late as 4 o'clock this afternoon with them. So it really is a team effort. Everyone's pulling in the same direction. I really believe that. We had a long meeting this morning. But we do have a delta that we're fighting right now as far as the negative in the budget. And, you know, Jennifer's right, every set of eyes is welcome.
Any other questions? Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
You wanted to go to the next person?
Yes.
Or do you want to repeat the motion?
Can you repeat the motion?
Yeah. Yes. How about that, Tony?
The motion was made by Armando Rodriguez to cease negotiations with TANSPE and seconded by Mrs. Casares.
Can we go to the next person?
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you, Board. We will cease negotiations. We'll send them a letter. Steve, if you could help us with that. And we appreciate your consideration, TASB, over these last few months.
I'll take this, too.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. That, Tony, would you take us to executive session?
No, wait.
Oh, 10B, I'm sorry.
Item 10B, consider approval of contract with Parkville Smith Cooper for the commissioning of the pre-K-8 project. Ms. Matthews.
And just real quick, you were able to negotiate on that price. Our committee's recommendation was to actually move forward with the negotiations, bring it to us, and hopefully negotiate a better price.
Correct. So they can reduce their price somewhat. But let me explain. There's actually three different items on the fee proposal. There's fundamental commissioning, which is required by LEED. And it was originally $62,000. There is a second component that's required by LEED. The second component is enhanced commissioning, which is applicable towards two LEED points. To obtain a LEED certification, there's different levels, so it's a point-based system. So for each extra mile you go, more points are awarded. And then there's a third item that gives a total commission of a certain price that you have before you. And the third item is measurement and verification, and that is the third. And you can see that third price before you. So,
what's the administration's recommendation?
Well, actually, the one who would have a bigger picture of how many points they need to achieve, because they're calculating different areas of where they're going to collect all the points, would be Mr. Carlin.
Mr. Daniel is here tonight, President, Board members, and Mr. Daniel, please. He's written a letter as well of support.
Yes, he's here. Board President, Shelby, Board members, we have written a letter recommending to you that you engage a commissioning firm to work with us on this new school. And I'd like to add to that by saying that there are actually many ways that a school district is recognized by others in our community and compared to other school districts. Anyways, a lot of them have to do with ways of kids, which are most important. But one of the ways that a district can be recognized is by building energy efficient schools. And a very well-known, nationally recognized way to identify that is to have a LEED certified school. As you know, there is only one LEED certified school in this town right now. One that we did. There are others coming, and we think that this district needs to be building LEED certified schools for several reasons. One is for the recognition. One is for it to be a teaching tool for the students who go to school there, and one is to be an example to the community. So we are recommending that we hire a commissioning agent to assist us. And it is a requirement to get LEED certified. Jennifer and the rest of the team administration has been working for a long time with the negotiations. And from our point of view, we really believe that we would like to have all three, but we really need fundamental commissioning and measurement and verification. Fundamental commissioning is a requirement of LEED, and then measurement and verification is just a way that we can measure for the next year after we complete the school. And this is a way to put that dashboard, if you will, up on the wall of the school that shows everybody how we're doing. So those are the two that we really strongly recommend. We'd like to have all three, but if we're limited to two, we'd like to have fundamental commissioning and measurement verification, and we do strongly recommend that we build a LEED certified school.
So it's just a couple.
Yes, sir.
So this is my issue is, if we build an energy efficient school without commissioning, is that going to change its efficiency?
No, sir. In fact, that's an excellent question.
That's
we are going to build an energy efficient school no matter what. We are certainly not going to recommend to you, for instance, a very high energy usage air conditioning system. As you already know, we're recommending one that's very efficient and it is within our budget. So we're definitely going to build an energy efficient school. And there's a cost associated with getting the certification, but it is a national recognition. And if we do get that certification, we get a plaque, and everybody knows that we have built the school to LEED standards, which are very demanding, and it does provide us with a recognition nationally and to all school districts and to the community and to the kids who go there. So we do think it's worth the additional funds to spend for the commissioning agent. We're going to do it LEED efficiency anyway. We just think the certification would be very beneficial for the school district.
President, our CMR, Oscar Venegas, is here as well. I don't know if he has comments.
Good evening, Mr. Venegas. Thank you for coming.
Good evening, members of the board. Dr. Murphy. I had my LEED professional in the office look up some stuff for us so I could speak intelligently about it tonight. And the one thing that struck me is that if you take a median whole building energy savings resulting from the commissioning project for new construction, you should save 13%. So there's a cost savings of 13% per year if you do this formal commissioning process. The other thing, Environmental Protection Agency defines it as a test run, system check. It tests, verifies, and fine-tunes the performance of key building systems so that the highest levels of performance are achieved. Correctly implemented, commissioning is extremely cost-effective and should improve the building delivery process, increase system reliability, improve energy performance, ensure good indoor environmental quality, and improve operation and maintenance of the facility. So those are all good things about the commissioning process. So that's why I wanted to quote from where she found. Second quote is from the Environmental Protection Agency. The first quote is from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, an Evan Mills PhD. And then the United States Green Building Council also recommends it as a Green Building Design 2009 edition. In addition, I just recently discovered that the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers, which is called ASHRAE 189.1, is written so it can be easily adapted to building codes and covers site sustainability, water use efficiency, energy efficiency, indoor environmental quality, and building's impact on the atmosphere, materials of construction, the plan of operation. This ASHRAE standard 189.1 is now going to be a federal standard that will be implemented in all their construction projects starting in 2013. If the city adopts this as a code compliance requirement, when we pull the permit next year, it might already be part of the approval process, part of what you have to do anyway. So when we had our meeting with the construction committee, we discussed that that's inevitable. I mean, it's just one of those things that's it's coming into popularity and efficiency and just another thing that's being required by the construction industry and buildings, older buildings and new buildings.
You know, something I see on here that I don't particularly like is that the fee is not reflective of an in-person meeting to explain the report conclusions. We're always used to having someone come and speak to us, not just, you know, give us a conference call.
I'm sure that could be arranged. If that's the, if that's one of the sticking points in negotiation, we could go back on that. Ms. Searles, can I ask a question of our CMR?
Yes, sir.
And Carl, if you want to comment as well. In the letter that Jennifer wrote in the fourth paragraph, she has highlighted a sentence that says, in general, the cost of commissioning is less than the cost of not commissioning. What does that mean to you? How is that, that it could save us that much money to pay for the full cost of the commissioning?
The idea of commissioning is that you're not wasting electricity, wasting energy. An example would be that the air conditioning systems, when the commissioning agent finishes with it, he's going to determine whether that airflow and the RPMs of the motor are in the design parameters. What can happen sometimes is you can buy a York air conditioner, a Carrier air conditioner, a Train air conditioner, and we assume that what comes in the box is going to be operated properly once you plug it in. And a lot of times you'd be surprised that they're not what they say that they do on the box. They'll give you a fan curve performance, and sometimes it's defective, sometimes there has to be adjustments to the belts. And then the actual reporting of the system, so if you have a very energy management system that goes along with it, that will also help you when you understand that the system's not operating properly. I guess an example would be like my Ford truck. I have a little computer sitting there, and I can punch in there, and it says, your last oil change was this date, and this isn't running properly. You need to do this, you need to do that. And that's what they... That's in essence what you're doing, is you're having all your controls and everything checked and made sure that it operates as a unit. They just verify those. Andy Tarim warned me about one thing, and I do want to warn you about this, is that when you get too many cooks in the stew, we get into more of a finger pointing situation. So we do have to be careful the equipment, the controls, the energy management, and commissioning people are all talking as a group and a partnership, so that we do get what we're asking for. If you don't have them all in a partnership, everyone's going to point to someone else that's not working properly. And Andy comes from the experience of the federal courthouse, which is still in litigation So I think the team approach is also very important. You know, the commissioning agent, the architect, the mechanical engineer, we all have to be on the same page, that we know that the things are talking to each other. That's the most critical point, too. It doesn't help to have all the bells and whistles, but nobody knows why the bell's not going off when something happens.
I noticed that they have taken out the measurement and verification part of the commissioning requirements. What does that do to, which is applicable to 3 points in the LEED rating system?
You know, I have to default to the architect. You know, as I tried to explain the other day, the only thing that I know is that the commissioning does like a statistical analysis of the units. Like if you have 20 air handling units, they'll do like 4 of them, and they'll check them at random. And if they all meet what they said they're going to meet, and it's installed the way it was supposed to be installed, then they'll proceed to check something else. If it isn't, then they'll continue and do another four. That's the first part of the commissioning, and that's the part that I've dealt with primarily. And I've done the lead school with Carl, and I've done a four project on Fort Bliss that are green commissioning. And I only hired the first commissioning thing, so I'm not really familiar with the other two. I know that the first one and second one can be considered as one, you know, instead of broken mm-hmm. into two.
But it doesn't look like that's what we're looking at here. That
I think the
only one they're breaking off, and why I'm saying this is, it looks like the fundamental conditioning right here. It says it's required to even submit for LEED, but under that, the enhanced commissioning gives you 2 points, and the one we're not going to get, the measurement and the verification, actually gives you 3 points. So maybe Mr. Daniel could explain that, and I just don't understand. Why would we take enhanced for 2 points over measurement and verification for 3 points?
We should take measurement and verification, in my opinion, and also fundamental commissioning. Fundamental commissioning will commission every piece of equipment, every motor, every piece of equipment. We need that, as you know, as a requirement. Enhanced commissioning is a situation where the commissioning agent comes back after 10 months and checks to see if it's still running as it was originally designed, or something has happened to the system, a duct leak or stoppage of a filter or something of that nature. It would be great to have that, but I would prefer us to have the other one, and this firm will give it to us, measurement and verification,
yeah,
which we can use in a presenting way in the foyer of the building that shows what energy we're saving and how much we're saving, and that kind of documentation. Is what we would prefer to have. And we do have the opportunity to get 3 points.
Yeah, I'm reading this and seeing that there's a difference in what you're saying from what Ms. Matthews is recommending. Ms. Matthews, could you maybe? Sergio?
When is the measurement and verification done? At what point?
It starts right after the commissioning is completed, and the company, if they're hired to do it, will begin looking at our design documents to make sure that we have them designed properly prior to construction documents, and we're prior to that. They will then measure and verify over the 12-month period that the system is running and give us the numerical data that we need to prove that we actually are saving the energy.
So it during the first 12 months from the start of operation of the school?
Yes, sir.
And the enhanced commissioning basically does that after 10 months?
The enhanced commissioning comes back. I know it sounds like a duplication, but LEED was established by the federal government people, and that's what they did. So it's a little bit of a duplication. It sounds like the same thing, but the enhanced commissioning is really looking at the system after 10 months to see if it's coming up to the right percentages. Measurement and verification is giving you some numerical data over the 12 months. It's somewhat the same. And again, if I were choosing, I would choose the fundamental and measurement and verification.
And President, if I may, we know the reason that it's written this way in Jennifer's proposal is because we were asked to renegotiate. And in the renegotiation, they said, okay, well, we'll take off the measurement and verification. I am sure that if we went back and said, no, we want that, that they'd be happy to bring that back.
So it's just one and three?
No, either they'll do any of them.
You want to make?
Yeah, exactly.
Said here, you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'm seeing that the measurement, just what I'm reading here, and I know no more than what I'm reading here, seems to be a part of the process for LEED, and the enhance, by your writing, is not required by LEED?
No, the only one that is strictly required is the fundamental commission.
Okay.
If we decided later on to do the enhanced commissioning, we could do that after the fact? Doesn't have to be done now anyways.
I believe it has to start during the initial part of the contract. I believe we do have to decide when we start, because there's some meetings and other stuff that they do with us prior to the startup procedures and things. It's spelled out in the book that I did look at it this afternoon. I think some of those items actually started during the design phase.
The enhanced commission?
I believe so, yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I think if anything, the board should consider the fundamental commissioning and the measurement and verification process as part of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm frankly not one for awards or recognition, not for the practicality of things, mm-hmm. but I can understand why we would want, in terms of also engaging the students in terms of the awareness and the educational part of it, mm-hmm. that the certification is important.
Yeah.
So
could we then, Mr. Blanco, have the administration go renegotiate with these people again?
We
have a meeting next, two of them next week.
We could just do it.
You can approve it. Sorry. Madam President, you could approve it with the two items that you want to require and then just go back to them. I'm sure they'll agree to it and the final contract will come to the board next meeting for approval.
Well,
to exceed them.
What I'm seeing, though, is the one that was left out, the M and V, was not negotiated by price. It was only sent away. Right. And so that they would possibly negotiate the price on that as they did the enhanced commissioning.
Yeah, if you directed us to do so, we could tell them the direction is to choose fundamental commissioning and maybe, can you reduce the price? Those are
the same, you know, the same percentage rate that they reduced the other. Could they reduce?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I move at this time that the board approve the commissioning for the K-8 school to include the fundamental commissioning and the measurement and verification, and to basically instruct our administration and council to enter into negotiations for those two services and bring back a contract to the board for approval.
I'll second.
Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Carno?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
Thank you, board. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I know that y'all have worked really hard on this. Thank you. Is there anything else?
10B.
We just did 10B.
10D.
10D. Okay, we can do 10D.
Consider approval of prevailing wage rates, Ms. Matthews.
And there was a recommendation, and the board is recommending it to a full committee. It's under Davis-Bacon. But if you want to look at the graph, so I'm going to make a motion that we approve the prevailing wage rates as presented by administration.
Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Carrara?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Serrano?
Yes. And?
Tenny, it should be real quick.
We'll go with Tenny also with the board's permission.
Can we get Annette back in here, please?
Or do you want to go into?
No, let's do
just
this.
Get it out.
Yeah, just.
Item E, discussion and possible action.
Pam as well.
Regarding 10 block schedule,
I've got like 3 days for the decision. Well, yeah.
President Searles, board members.
Yes, sir.
When I first came to the district, we went in for a waiver to TEA to go to a 10 period block. The reason that the waiver was required is that it shortened the CTE periods, which are required a certain length by the federal government without waiver. We went with the waiver and got it, so we were able to do the 10-period block. The waiver was good for 3 school years, and this current year is the 3rd year. And so we are discussing several options. We're discussing going out for another waiver or not going out for a waiver and then restructuring our master schedule at the high school. Ms. Brigham is putting together a committee to look at this as to what exactly we want to do. Our new high school principal also has some thoughts and some ideas, and we're just starting that committee process.
So the reason why I wanted this, I had a constituent ask me, and we've never gotten an update on the 10-block schedule, so I thought it would behoove us to actually get a full update. I want to, not just a committee, but feedback from the teachers, the survey, as well as the students. Part of the concern was the 10-block period days, actually, there's not enough classroom time to actually address the needs of the students. And so I want to make sure that we try to get that feedback before we move forward on the second part of asking a waiver. Not only that, I just want to make sure that they're just on the 10-block period, did we see any issues in regards, I mean, we've been able to see, of course, an increase
in CTE.
Not in CTE, but in the amount of students actually finishing coursework. And so that's probably why our numbers have tremendously gone up. And so the concern there is to actually see if it's benefiting the students or is it benefiting just the district in numbers. So it's my concern is I want to make sure that we're actually addressing the students' needs and then looking at whether it's, I guess there's no way to really analyze it, whether it's maybe the GPA-wise, looking if students are getting lower grades.
Well, I think the cohort report and the way our completion rate has improved is a real indicator of how it's helped. But there is a way to analyze it, and that is that the waiver requires a third-party evaluator to come in. And we've had a third party for 2 years come in and evaluate. He's coming in, I think, next month.
Matter of fact, I'm waiting for him to give me a date when he's starting. He's going to be starting within the next week to 2 weeks. And he's going to be looking at all those things that you just were asking about. He's going to be coming in, and he's going to absolutely look at CTE. He's going to be looking at the kids, how many kids are on cohort. He will be looking at the graduation rate. He'll be looking at some of the things as far as...
I just don't want to look at the students on cohort. I mean, having 10 periods instead of 8, of course, you would have an ability to gain 2 more. And so that allows the cohort. But the issue here is whether our students are gaining the instruction needed and are they getting the grades.
Well, you know, we know that one of the areas right now that we're struggling is the English ELAR. And they see the kids every other day. We've managed to double block Algebra 1. The 10th graders have geometry and math models. So they have...
And biology.
And biology.
But for math, our 9th graders are double blocked in algebra, and our sophomores are double blocked. Well, it's 2 courses, but they do see the students every day. And then we're double blocking biology. Now, we double block biology because we were forecasting that science would be a huge area. When the data came back and the state made the English EOC, gave the English EOC the highest passing standard, students needed to get a 65% to pass, our English, our writing scores went from surpassing state scores to here. So we know that we have good teachers, our curriculum is sound, but what changed the test? So the rigor, the alignment. So now we have to make that readjustment. So, you know, if we do wind up going to continuing, if the data comes back that we should continue 10th period day, I think that's something we would need to look at instead of double blocking the science.
And I guess a major concern, especially if we're going to end of course exams,
are we provided
the amount of instruction that our students need?
Exactly.
And so that's something I want evaluated and then reported
back. Well, we have. Okay, yes, we will. But, I mean, we are evaluating it. That's why we've double-blocked math in both the freshman and sophomore year, double-blocked science for the first ever ninth-grade science test that they're having to take. And we thought we were okay with ELA, but now they're coming in with this higher passing rate. So
we may have to readjust.
Who will evaluate that?
I have, the independent... evaluator that I have coming in is either it's Mr. Alan Long that came from Socorro ISD or Richard Pettis, but I do believe it would be Alan Long.
Go ahead.
And he's been coming now 2 years. This should be his third year.
I mean, should we actually get somebody else to evaluate that?
Well, I have to.
Is that the optimal person?
Well, that's the one that TJ's approved. So, okay. I mean.
It's almost an assignment as opposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah, I mean, I had to say I was going to do that.
So we'll be getting a report, right, on all this stuff. That's. I'm sorry, ma'am.
How long did the children get for lunch?
I don't know.
You know, socializing is an incredible part of growing up and being in school in a social environment. I mean, kids learn so much. I can't help but think that we need to, you know, at our elementary levels, we made a really smart move, recess before lunch. I think that somewhere in our curriculum, we need to remember that social helps kids stay in school. Kids wouldn't drop out so much if they could hang out a little more and, you know, and enjoy their experience in school.
I think it's about 37 minutes, but we can check because I do believe it's the same as the courses. And what we also are seeing, too, with the electives, with the temporary day.
Temporary block.
Block, excuse me, thank you. That you have the, we've had an increase in enrollment. Huge increase in enrollment in electives. As an ex-elective teacher,
yes.
I might say, I would always tell the core teachers, I'm the reason they come to school.
Thank you.
Pat Araujo, and I wrote in my superintendent evaluation response, you know, we're very proud of her hitting 31 or 32 goals last year. And I'm telling you what, that 10-period block really assisted Mr. Araujo in getting those kids in those programs and adding the extra programs. And that's been a real boon for her and for the electives across the board.
Thank you.
But we'll do it. And I will tell you this, Mr. Rodriguez, there are people in the leadership over there that also would like to move away from 10-period blocking. So we just need to get all the voices together, get a committee, and figure out what we're going
to
do.
Right. And we have to be open to it all. Because we have to be open to...
The waiver's up anyway.
Right. We have to be open to the increased rigor that we have mm-hmm. the accountability. We have to be open to the kids, you know, with... But the end of course, especially with the end of course exams, and going, we don't know how that's going to affect enrollment anyways, because if you get kids that don't pass it, they double block. So we're going to look at all that.
15 end of course exams.
Yes, sir.
Pam, what is the time of instruction on the 10-period day per period?
It's about 72, 73 minutes.
On a 10-period day?
10-period blocks. Five periods a day, and they rotate.
It's about 36, 37 minutes per day. If you were to compare it to Coronado, that has, they see their students every day, they get to see them for about 45 minutes a day.
The waiver was from 45 minutes to 37 and a half minutes.
Babies.
So 37 and a half.
37 and a half every day.
Yes.
But what it turns into, it's a block schedule. So they see him 72 minutes every other day. So an hour and 12 minutes every other day.
Okay.
What it is. So it's a little bit like a college environment where.
And in the 8-block period? Or the 8-period?
45 minutes, sir.
45 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Every 90 minutes.
90 minutes. So it's going from 90 minutes every other day to 72 minutes every other day.
If we went AB, it would be 90 minutes. You know, per instructor, so it would average 45 minutes per day.
Okay, so that seems like a negative going from 90 to 72, but they're also picking up two additional periods, and so the benefits of the two additional periods then offset the 90 to 72.
And it allows us to double block some courses, but then we run.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On some of those courses before we didn't, they were seeing them basically for 45 minutes a day. Right?
Right.
If we double block them,
it's 90 a day.
Now we're giving them how many?
Now it's almost 2 months.
And a half.
And that is one of the drawbacks of an 8-period double block.
Now we're doing them 75 minutes a day instead of the previous 45 minutes. We're actually increasing the instruction time on those two.
Yeah, that's true.
The ones where we are double blocking that we are really need to focus on, which is math and science.
But are we double
blocking, right?
On those?
Right. Because if you go to an 8-period block, you're not going to have the opportunity to double block as many. So you are going to wind up with just these 45-minute every other, no, 90-minute every other day.
90 minutes.
Because you have fewer opportunities to double block than you do in a 10-period. So, you know, the whole thing's a big jigsaw puzzle.
Well, possibly.
And there's arguments, positive and negative.
We're actually,
with
those
the
two courses, we're actually increasing.
But yes. The ones that are double block right now, they get 72 minutes every single day. So, right, it would be 140, 145 minutes now what they're getting versus what they would be getting 90 minutes. So
you did double block all the biology, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But it turns, I mean,
now we're worried about the English.
I'm worried about English, BLAR, because they are responsible for reading test and writing test in their 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. Before it was just reading in 9th grade.
It's not in 9th.
And now they have two tests per year.
Double blocked courses, we're increasing the instruction time by 60%.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is if we double block ELAR, then we are eliminating more of the CT course, which then we
every
are
time
right. But every, you know, but we have to look at all those things because we do have other areas, we have other things in our tool bag that we can pull out. So I'm not advocating one way or the other. I really feel what the campus wants, what's good for the kids, and what's good for the district will go forward. You know, I know I have a CTE hat on all the time too. However, I really think looking at the global approach that we can pull in, we might be able to put in more of the career co-op program for the kids, for the seniors. I already have been talking to Pat, and I said, Pat, this is some areas we have to look at in case we need to explore an 8-period day.
But perhaps y'all could come back after little exploration and, you know, we could hear this at a committee meeting.
Yeah, I just
now that we've kind of gotten our feet wet. Or even not in a committee meeting, maybe just an update in Thursday packet. How's it going?
And all of this was going to occur anyway.
Yes.
The waiver's coming to an end, so we've got to do something.
Okay.
And we know that, and we're going to.
Well, thank you very much for supplying the answers that we've got.
And I will say this in the end. I think the 10-period block over the last 3 years has been extremely successful for Canyon-Teal High School. It might be time to change, but I think over the last 3 years, we've seen our completion rate go way up, our graduation rate go way up, our passing rate, and we've also seen our CTE and our electives increase. I think there's been a lot of benefits to it. I don't know if it's the way of the future, but it certainly has worked.
The fly in the ointment's the new test.
The new test, exactly.
Absolutely.
Good point. Okay.
Although
we're in a different place than we were 3 years.
What I want to look at is, okay, the class-wise was going up, but I want to see was our grades dropping, because that's what one of the, so a way to analyze that, were the grades dropping and were the students' test scores dropping?
Well, I can, okay, let me think about that.
Okay.
And Tony?
That should be it.
Would you then take us to executive session, please? Thank you very much.
The time is now 8:46 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551074, 071, and 072 for discussion with internal auditor regarding assignment of current district audit projects, discussion and receive advice from legal counsel regarding pending internal audit projects and projects to be assigned, discussion regarding personnel matters, review proposal to terminate a teacher under a term contract, discussion of personnel matters related to financial services division, discussion regarding central office space reorganization, discussion of real estate matters, legal issues related to the pre-K-8 school, discussion with legal counsel regarding options for possible communication with the Texas Education Agency, discussion of superintendent's 2012 summative evaluation and upcoming formative assessment, and discussion of recommendation of bond manager.
Tony, just for the purpose of the record, the discussion regarding the central office space reorganization can be discussed in the open session following the closed session.
Thank you.
Standing out here.